Today our message is titled, God the Master Artist. You know, sometimes we don't understand what the Lord is doing, but he always connects the dots, and we're always brought through to the other side. And he has reasons. You know, just as we have sung this morning, we do have victory. So our opening scripture this morning is Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me tell you a story. You know, Jesus told parables. So this is a parable to get us going today. There once was a poor chicken farmer who lived in the shadow of a great mountain. One day, while hiking along the path that led to the peak of this great mountain, he discovered an abandoned eagle's nest that the wind had blown from off the cliff. Upon examining it more closely, much to his amazement, he saw that it contained an undamaged speckled egg. He recognized it immediately because of its size and distinctive markings that it was an eagle egg. The farmer carefully picked up his find, wrapped it in a handkerchief, and transported the treasure down the steep mountain path to his humble home. Knowing both the value and scarcity of the bald eagle, he devised a plan to save the one. He took the egg to the hen house and placed the egg in a nest along with a few other chicken eggs. At first, the newly hatched chicks looked all alike, but soon it became obvious that one was different. It was bigger and stronger than the rest. It had the ability to be more graceful and more aggressive than the rest of his little chicken brothers and sisters. But because he was raised to be a chicken and was treated like a chicken, he thought of himself as a chicken. One day, while scratching around the dusty old barnyard with the rest of the chickens, he saw the most beautiful bird soar across the sky. To the chicken, this bird looked more powerful, more graceful, and more majestic than any other bird he had ever seen. The out-of-place chicken turned to his brothers and sisters and asked, "What kind of a chicken is that?" "Why, silly bird, that's no chicken. That's an eagle. He is the king of all the birds. He can fly higher, fly faster, glide longer, and see farther than any bird in the world." "Wow, it sure would be great to soar the way he does. Imagine that, big chicken. I would give anything to fly above the clouds as he does." "Well, don't get any silly ideas," said the chicken to his big brother. "You are just a common, ordinary chicken. Your wings are useless. You cannot fly any great distance. You're destined to live here on the farm and scratch around in the dirt like the rest of us. And so the big chicken looked longingly at the sunset as the mighty eagle disappeared into the distance, wishing he too could one day soar above the clouds. But sadly, he never knew the flight for which he was created because, well, he thought he was a chicken. And everyone knows chickens can't fly. So the question remains, are you an eagle or a chicken? Let's open with prayer. Father, even as the Apostle Paul prayed, let your love abound more and more in knowledge and in the depth of insight, so that we may discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. So point number one, what are we looking at? Sometimes we look at circumstances, where we live, who our family is, what others say about us, and at the obstacles in front of us. But God knows exactly where we are and what he has ordained us to be and what he has for us to accomplish. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. Paul is telling us here that we are God's workmanship, and we're created for good works. The scripture, beginning at verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. God is not in a hurry, for he desires a life not just to be lived on the earth, but to live with him through all eternity. So let's go back to our beginning scripture, and this will not be on the overhead. I want to reread this scripture in the Amplified Bible, Philippians 1:6. And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. In beginning a picture, an artist sketches an outline first. Then he fills in its finishing touches. So it is with us as believers. The outline of the Christian character is sketched in, but the details that bring maturity are filled in throughout our entire life. So the Greek word translated "will perform it" has the meaning of will evermore put its finishing touches to it. There are many finishing touches that the master artist needs to put on our lives to complete them according to his plan. We may not see what he is doing, but we can be confident that he will not leave undone what he has begun. That is hope. That is how we move through this life. Point number two. Do you have a purpose for your life? There is a story of a young man who was doing some work in a home. And during a conversation, a question was asked, "Do you have a purpose for your life?" "Yes," he replied. "I just don't know what it is." Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, 21. You know, when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was never the same again. He had a real purpose for living, and so do we. The scripture, Philippians 1, 21. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." It's just a short little verse, but it says so much. It was the life of Christ in him. The Lord was the object of his love and devotion. His goal was to know him. Paul lived to please him. Even in our everyday lives, we can experience Jesus in every circumstance that we may find ourselves. In our times of joy, we live in Christ. In sorrow, we live in Christ. If we are experiencing a financial crisis, we live in Christ. Even in times of heartache, we live in Christ. When we live our lives in Christ, he becomes the center of our lives. We have his ears for hearing, his eyes for seeing, his face for reflecting, his lips for speaking, his feet for walking, and his life for living. If Jesus is to have first place in our lives, we must allow him to finish the work in and through us. It is not just living like Christ, but it is Christ living in us. Then we can say, as Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." Let's look at the book of Hebrews, and we're going to focus at chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Our goal is Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Our eyes are to be centered on him. We must look onto Jesus. So here, the writer says in the scripture beginning at verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, And let us run with perseverance for the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The word fix means to deliberately set aside time and to concentrate in stillness and with determination and commitment. We need to have a deep longing to know him with genuine willingness to spend time alone with him. The word fix, as the author of Hebrews used it, means to have an obsessive fixation. In other words, to develop a singular focus on Jesus and what he has accomplished on the cross for you and for me. It is not faith in our own faith, but faith in Jesus Christ. God knows our race course. He knows the obstacles along the way. He has the power to keep us on the right track, avoiding pitfalls. We can have detours when we take our eyes off the goal. We may be distracted by looking at the obstacles, hindrances, circumstances, environment, or problems. We must keep our eyes focused on the goal, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is with us at the beginning of the race and at the end of the race accompanies us each mile of our way, strengthening us and encouraging us. Number three, do you ever feel like no one really knows you or what you're thinking about or what you're going through? No one knows. Well, let's turn to Psalm 139. This is one of my favorite psalms. It is so good because it informs us that God is always with us no matter what. So let's begin by reading verses 1 through 6 in Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. When God searches us, we cannot hide our weaknesses, our mistakes, and failures from him. Our lives are completely open to him. The all-knowing God knows where we are and what we are experiencing every moment. He knows our loneliness, our discouragement, and our disappointments. He knows when people we love forsake us. He knows when our world seems to be falling apart and there's nothing that we can do. Nothing takes him by surprise. God knows us better than anyone else, even better than we know ourselves. He knows our innermost thoughts and desires. He knows our inner longings, our motives, and our purpose. Yet he loves us with his unfailing love. He sees our potential and what we can become in Jesus Christ. This is truly too wonderful, too glorious to understand. Let's continue by reading verses 13 through 16 in Psalm 139. God even knew us beforehand. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Beginning at verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eye saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before any of them came to be. That, to me, is wonderful, to know that he has a book that he has written with our life in it, his plan, his purpose. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29:11. Because you know what? Jesus has ordained a purpose for each one of us. He has a plan for each of our lives. And just as we read, they're written in a book. You know, there was a period of time where Don and I lost every one of our friends. I had been a Christian for years, and people just accepted me. Oh, she's one of them. Crazy, over-the-top believers. But Don wasn't. He believed, but he wasn't, I don't know how to put it, like me, I guess I'll say. And then there came a day, a terrible day, when many bad things happened. And without going into any of those details, I had been praying and asking God, you know, even Elijah, you sent him Elisha. You sent him someone to be there, to uphold him and walk with him and listen to him. Would you please do the same for me? And that's why this verse, Jeremiah 29:11, has special meaning to me. Because there was one night I was awakened to the sweet presence of the Lord. And I seriously did not know that this was a scripture, but he said it to me in the first person. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. You know, when the Lord does something special for you. You search it out. I spent the next day searching out for that scripture until I found it. And then, just as an added, I went to work that day at our grocery store, and I met this lady on the street. And we just said hello to one another, and I went on and went to work. And all at once, there she stood. And I thought, that's kind of different, you know? Well, again, I'm going to make a long story short. She ended up coming back and sitting with me. We had a bakery in our store. And we sat down at the table and we started visiting. And I told her about my experience the night before. And she started screaming. I thought, what in the world? She reached in her purse and pulled out a paper. And on that paper was written, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. She and her husband are intercessors from Sioux Falls who came to Elcester looking for whoever this was that they were to give this message to. And the only reason I'm telling you all of that is it doesn't matter how dark your times are. God knows, even if he has to send someone to talk to you and tell you. Let's look at Proverbs 4:18. Being an all-wise God, he knows the importance of rest stops along the way. Because he knows we may fail to take them otherwise. He includes them at the right places of our path for our benefit. So the scripture, Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining even brighter till the light of day. God knows what our future holds. Sometimes we must rest in the knowledge that he holds each one of us in the palm of his hand. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We serve an almighty God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. An attitude of righteousness is enduring adversity. Adversity is God's university. Boy, that's a mouthful. But he puts us in the university of adversity, so that we learn how to walk with him, to know that he does have a good plan, and he will succeed in that plan if we listen. Point number four, God gives power to the faint. Isaiah 40, 29 through 30. You know, the older I get, the more this scripture means more to me, and I quote it almost every single day and pray it. It says, beginning at verse 29, he gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. What does it mean to have hope in the Lord? It means wait upon. And that means to bind together by twisting, to be gathered together, be joined, to meet, to lie in wait for someone, to expect, to be confident, trust, to be enduring. We are to wrap ourselves so tightly around God that we automatically go where He is going. When the eagle watches a storm approaching, he waits until it strikes. Then he faces it, spreads out his wings, and rises upward through it. As the storms break in our lives, our wing power takes us through the storm and lifts us above it. Sufficient strength to mount up on wings as eagles comes from waiting on the Lord. It has been said that mounting wings have been fashioned for those who wait upon the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord will keep trusting in spite of difficulties. When we bring our needs to Him and wait before Him, He gives strength to rise above them. He gives us His divine strength in exchange for our human strength. In our weakness, we can become strong. We say, I can't do it. God says, I can do it for you. What are you waiting on today? Things, people, money, possessions, health. Waiting on Him gives the quiet confidence of His presence, upholding us moment by moment. In our closing moments, I'd like to have you hear me say one very important thing. You can fly above the clouds if you wish. You can. I would like to close with a word that the Lord gave me through prayer and listening to His still small voice when Don and I were in the midst of a storm. We've been through many storms. I'm just saying, life in Jesus doesn't mean the waters are always calm. And I am so thankful for Holy Spirit who can speak through me and I can hear Him and I can write down what He has given me. So I was sitting in His presence and it isn't like He gives me everything all at once. I must sit there and listen. Sometimes it's one word. And I keep waiting for the second word. And I'm thinking, this isn't gonna make any sense. I'm making this up. But when God is finished as the master artist, He has the right word for you and for me. I entitled this, Learn to Soar. Behold, I set before you this day life or death. Choose life. Is it not I who sustains you? Why are you troubled? It is a gift of God. Do not be anxious for anything. Do I not know your needs? Do I not provide for my very own? Why are you troubled? Why are you anxious? I make a way where there is no way. Lean on me, the author and finisher of your faith. Learn from me. As an eagle takes her eaglets high in the air to teach them flight, do they not try their wings? Does not the eagle catch them if they begin to fall? Let me be your guide. Let me cover you with my wings. Let me gather you up. You will not fall headlong. I am always there to catch you and bring you to an even higher place. The wind will become your friend as you learn to soar upon it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Remember, I will lead you in the direction you are to go. Lean on me, not on your own understanding. Let me part the waters as you step into them. Let my will be accomplished in your life. If it is truth that you seek, truth you shall have. I am the answer. You need not fret. Step out and see the glory of the Lord. Your way shall be prosperous. Your path will be made straight. Now is the time. Move forward. It is time. Again I say, rise up. Flap your wings. Soar as the eagle who is lifted up in the air currents. No matter how light the breeze, you will be lifted up. Soar. Soar as the eagle. You will find the right air current. You will walk in fruitfulness. Lean on me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that your word describes your way. And Lord, forgive us when we think we can do it in our own strength. Forgive us when we become distracted. We know that your plan is a good plan. And Lord, no matter what the storm, you are here right with us. And you are going to lift us up. We praise you, Lord, for loving us enough to send Jesus to die in our place, that we can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, amen.